Welcome to another edition of the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast. My name is Marcus Cole. On the phone with us today is Julia Kirkpatrick, who is the nutrition director at Relentless Athletics. Julia, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Julia, why don't you go ahead and give our audience just a little bit of information about you, your certifications and qualifications.
Okay, sure. My background, I did my undergraduate at Temple University with a degree in kinesiology and concentration in exercise and sports science. Then after that, I completed a master's degree at East Tennessee State University, where I was an assistant strength coach and a head strength coach for two different sports, one at a local college for the track and field athletes, and then I was the assistant strength coach with for ETSU's volleyball players, and my role there was also taking care of their sports nutrition. In terms of certifications, I have my USAW and CSCS, and I think that is generally my background.
Awesome. Now, one of the things that we're focusing here on this episode of the podcast is controlling the controllables. There's so many different things that is outside of an athlete's control, but there are so many different things that an athlete can control, one of them being nutrition, and wanted to talk about that today. Now, from a nutritional standpoint, what should young athletes be thinking about to properly fuel their bodies during a soccer season?
Yes. So there can be, it's interesting, specifically kind of working with a younger population. And then obviously as individuals get older and mature, nutritional demands change a little bit, but then also kind of like what the focus should be on, I think also changes just based on their maturity and their understanding and being able to understand kind of more abstract ideas with youth soccer players. The demand of the sport is there's a lot of energy expenditure going on, obviously, especially kind of, you know, they're running around outside for long periods of time. They're sweating a lot and they also have a busy schedule. So I'd say probably the main aspect that I would first consider when working with kind of a youth soccer player would just be, are they taking in just enough energy to meet the demands of the sport, recover, and then also at this point in time in their life, the athletes are typically still growing. So that's also going to require an additional energy demand on top of just general running around and then also having enough energy to recover.
Now, I know a lot of athletes don't figure on nutrition. They kind of eat whatever they want, that kind of thing, just because they're kids, they're young. You know, one of the big things I think is a challenge, and I know it's a challenge for my daughter. She's a high school senior this year. We're in our high school season here in West Virginia right now. And, you know, she's in school all day for 7 to 8 hours, and then she has, you know, usually practice right after school, sometimes a game. Thankfully, this year, a lot of her matches are in the evenings. So she has an opportunity to fuel up properly, I think, in my mind, before she has to go play. What are some tips that you can give players and parents on fueling up on game day, even when they've been in school all day? What kind of tips can you provide them?
So for this kind of scenario, and I was just working with someone the other day, actually, who kind of had this similar issue where they have multiple kids, and I think this is probably, you know, common of families who it's like little Johnny's playing, you know, baseball, then we have our daughter playing soccer, and then managing the schedule can be challenging, and the kids are sitting all day in school. So I think first and foremost, because of their age, I think that having parent involvement is extremely important, because they are kind of the navigator of the ship, and obviously the kids should be involved as well. But I think when you have a busy schedule, it's really important to, one, educate the parents, and then two, kind of help provide some pre-planning tools, because this is going to be super important if you have a busy schedule. Then following that, coming up with on-the-go sort of snacks that are easily going to be easily accessible, and can be taken on the go. These are things that might be like chocolate milk, which would be a good source of protein and carbohydrates for either before a game or a practice, or even after, paired with maybe another carbohydrate based snack that might be easy. This could be like pretzels or goldfish. So you're giving them sufficient energy before they need to play. But then also, you know, what to eat during the day or during school. And that is kind of where it comes in. It's like, okay, maybe we sit down and figure out, like, what are we going to have? Like, what's a solid breakfast that we might have? And then packing lunch beforehand the night before, and possibly packing also some snacks that the kid can snack on during school or like right before practice. So I think it is, a lot of it is kind of brainstorming beforehand, so you are prepared for, you know, during school time, and then also before practice or a game.
Now, on the opposite end of things, we have some players that are not at the middle school or high school level. They're competing in club events, or for their club, competing at various tournaments. Then, of course, this spring, all of our high school and middle school athletes will be doing the same. A lot of them will be doing the same thing, where they play one or two matches in a day over a weekend, maybe a long weekend. What kind of tips can you give them of, because I mean, I think that's a different, from a nutritional standpoint, a different set of circumstances, where you play a match in the morning and then maybe you have 2 hours before you have your next game. What tips can you give those parents and those players on how to fuel up during those situations?
Yeah, so this situation is, you know, you kind of hit on it. It is a little bit different than if you were only to have one practice or one game in a day. When you are playing multiple games or you have a tournament weekend, the importance of getting in proper nutrition between those games or matches becomes increasingly more important, because you are attempting to replenish lost energy stores as fast as possible, so you have so you're ready to go for the next game. So in this circumstance, kind of what you are actually eating, the importance of that increases it a little bit. In these situations, it's really important to focus on foods and drinks that are going to digest quickly and be uptaken and metabolized at a fast rate. So things that are high in fat, foods that are high in fat, for example, I just think a simple example would be, sometimes I see kids who are like ripping open peanut butter crackers and things like that. It's not that peanut butter crackers are bad, but they do also have like that fat content. And so this is going to slow down digestion. So something, you know, instead might be sipping on some Gatorade or a protein shake, where you're going to have a fast digesting protein. You're drinking a liquid, so you're also rehydrating, replenishing electrolytes, and replenishing glycogen stores that are going to, that you are going to have burned through in like those first matches. So really, in between, if you have like a 2 hour period, you should be prioritizing eating fast digesting carbohydrates, which are honestly, it's perfect, because these are usually the foods that are tastier. These things could be like kid cereal. I don't feel like it's difficult to convince someone to have a snack that's like this, because it's basically just high in sugar. And you're having kind of like that higher glycemic snack, so you can hopefully quickly be uptaken and you're ready to go and to be as refueled as possible for that second game, or the or if you have multiple games over the course of a weekend.
I know one big problem, I think, or issue that a lot of players and parents have, especially during the high school season, and I know my daughter has this situation here recently, is that she has a match coming up at 7 p.m. What kind of nutritional tips can you give a player for, you know, they have a late match, it goes into the evening, then trying to get to bed so that they can be ready for school the next day? Obviously, you don't want to have something big and then, you know, go to sleep on that. What tips can you give those players and parents that have those late matches in the evening and then they've got to get ready to go to bed and wake up the next morning, something that would be beneficial for them?
Yeah, so this is kind of goes back to the first point. I think like the first question that you asked, if someone has a game and then it's late at night, then obviously you're trying to get the kids to bed and ready for school the next day. But it is very important that you are still replenishing the lost energy that they had to promote recovery. And obviously sleep is the most important recovery modality, but then on top of that, you have to have enough energy to be able to repair tissue damage and replenish energy stores and things like that. So in this situation, I would actually attempt to fuel my kid as much as they would be able to handle. Like some people are going to have GI distress if they eat too big of a meal before like laying down to go to bed. So in that case, I might try to have a meal that is a little bit like less dense, but still like kind of calorically dense. So even things that are going to be fast digesting, like having like cereal or a bagel or just maybe like a hoagie on white bread after a game, where you're going to get plenty of calories in, but it's going to kind of sit easier on the stomach rather than a heavier meal like you're going to have steak and potatoes. That's probably not going to feel that great after you just ran around, were sweating for a while, and then like 30 minutes to an hour, you have to lay down and go to bed, and it's just like all kind of sitting in your stomach. So I would certainly try to have a meal that has enough, that is still high in calories but may sit easier on the stomach. And these are going to be foods that are a little bit less fibrous and not as fatty, because the fat's really going to kind of like stay in that stomach, delay digestion, and might cause some stomach upset right before bed.
I think another thing that is overlooked with youth athletes and maybe even some of the young adult athletes is proper hydration. And like I said, this is, you know, one of the things I think is that is such a controllable for an athlete. Tell us why hydration is so important.
Hydration is obviously important, especially for, you know, like for soccer players who are spending a ton of time on the field and are probably going to be outside. There's a variety of different factors that are going to affect hydration for different individuals. One being like the climate outside and how hot it is. But in general, I think when it comes to hydration, one aspect that's overlooked is, you know, I think people are like, told hydration is important, and it is, and people just think that hydration is only drinking water and then stepping out onto the field. But hydration is a process that takes place over time. So hydration is something that is continuous and needs to take place over the course of the entire day. So players should be drinking fluids frequently. If they aren't drinking fluids frequently and then they try to rush it in the last moment, like before it's like, oh, I haven't drank anything all day, then you it poses a risk of kind of getting waterlogged, and the water sits in your stomach, and then you step out onto the field, you're in a dehydrated state, which can lead to decreased performance, especially for long performances. Your blood volume is going to go down because you don't have as much water in your body, and so essentially your heart is going to have to work harder to pump fluids around, like blood, to various tissues in the body. So, you know, you don't want your body to have to work harder to get the same result. And I kind of think of, you know, in terms of like decreased fluid in the body, it's kind of like if you have, I don't know, the analogy I kind of think of is if someone's using a bottle of lotion and then you like use the whole bottle of lotion and you're trying to get like the last bit about it and you're like shaking the bottle. It's like, come on, get down so I can squeeze out the last bit. And that's kind of the same if you're in a dehydrated state where your heart's going to have to pump like, you know, faster to get the same result versus if like you have a full bottle of lotion, you just do a little squeeze and then you get your lotion. And so that's kind of the analogy I think of with being in a dehydrated state and it leading to decreased performance on the field, but also understanding that hydration isn't something that takes place in a matter of, you know, minutes.
That's a great analogy. I like that. One thing that I see a lot of, my daughter plays soccer, my son is a swimmer. I see a lot of kids going to energy drinks. Why don't you give us your thoughts on energy drinks as it's concerned with young athletes?
Sure. So I think that, I think that it matters in terms of why, I guess, you know, why is someone using an energy drink for like adolescents and things? And, you know, is it because they like the taste of the energy drink, or is it because they feel tired? And I think that kind of, you know, addressing initially, it's like, well, if the athlete wants to kind of like try to like feel more pumped up and things like that before a match or a game or a swim meet because they're tired, then I think in terms of dealing with an adolescent population, it's most important to address like, okay, it's probably best that we just focus on getting quality sleep initially. And then in terms of energy drinks, I don't think, I am not familiar with any research looking at energy drinks in relation to adolescents. I don't think that it's certainly not going to be like it's going to stunt their growth or anything like that, but you know, an energy drink once in a while I think is totally fine. It's more of building an over reliance on energy drinks to get through whatever, and that's what kind of relates back to maybe it's important that we address the foundational we need to build our foundation first. So that's going to be, are we getting enough sleep? Are we getting quality sleep? And then are we fueling ourselves with the correct, you know, nutrition to feel ready and prepared for a performance, rather than I'm going to have an energy drink because I'm feeling lethargic because I didn't eat enough today and I didn't get enough sleep. Building kind of that reliance on energy drinks, I don't think is a sustainable way to approach athletic sport, especially for adolescents.
A common theme that I'm hearing from you in regards to your answers to my questions today is it seems like a lot of importance is based upon planning and making sure that you're thinking ahead of time about these issues and trying to properly plan and figure out how I'm going to properly fuel my body and how I'm going to hydrate. And it just seems like as long as you can plan ahead, you know, from an athlete and parent perspective, it seems like the process is a whole lot easier. Would you agree with that?
Yes, for sure. I think, and it makes me think of, and I probably mess up like the phrase, it's like, I probably shouldn't have even brought it up, but it's always talking about like plan to plan to fail or plan to succeed or something like that. And essentially the basis of it is that it doesn't, I don't think that these, you know, there are two things. And I think just general education on nutrition is really important because if you do not even know you're missing out on something, then how are you supposed to execute something in a more optimal way? So education, and especially like I had mentioned with parents, that's kind of like the root of where anything's going to grow when you're dealing with an adolescent athlete, because, you know, for them, they're just like, I'm just going to school. I'm just trying to keep my eyes open during the day. I want to hang out with my friends. When's lunchtime? They don't really care what they're eating. So I think, starting with education with the parents, and then eventually, you know, as, you know, athletes get older, and are they demonstrating interest in kind of the nutritional aspects, you know, things can become more advanced. But, you know, just starting with like, hey, you know, I think also starting with the conversation with athletes and saying like, do you want to be really good at soccer? How important is this to you? And kind of if you're trying to say, you know, this is a little bit kind of a sidebar, but if you're trying to get your kid to buy in, I think it's important that you kind of relate it to something that's relatable to them. So the most important thing to them is probably like, I want to be the best on the soccer field. So it's like, okay, you sit down, little Susie, and it's like, you know, do you want to start? You know, well, what is everything that we can look at so you can, so you are getting more time on the field? Well, let's look at your nutrition, and kind of just starting conversations that way. And then kind of starting, like I had mentioned, just starting small, beginning to build that foundation, and then kind of like ramping it up. And that, and part of that includes planning, and then eventually maybe also getting the athlete also involved in the planning process, so they feel like they have more involvement, they have more autonomy in the situation, which I think helps lead them to be more bought into the process, because nutrition, when it comes to athletic performance, is really important.
I agree. I have a son who's a competitive swimmer, and he just went off to college this year and is swimming for the men's swim team at that college. And, you know, for the last 7 or so years, we've been really focusing on nutrition and hydration and things along that lines, and getting him to buy into that these will benefit you. And he's seen the results that have come from that. And I think as you start him on that trail of proper nutrition and proper hydration and things along that lines, the better the chance, you know, and I hope, I have my fingers crossed that now that he's at college and he's on his own and he's picking his meals and he's picking what he eats and doesn't eat and things along that lines, that hopefully some of that has rubbed off on him and will continue as he goes out on his own and ventures out.
For sure. And I think that what you brought up is actually a really important point. You know, if you have someone who's like, if your son or daughter is young, it's like, well, you know, Johnny is only 10 years old. He doesn't know anything about this. I need to still prepare all his meals. And while, you know, the parent might be doing the majority of the planning, I think that the involving your child can start quite early. So, you know, Johnny might not be making all of his meals, but it certainly can be like, you know, Johnny can come help me in the kitchen, and like you can, and he can help, you know, spread the peanut butter on the bread and the jelly, and kind of just have gradual exposure. So then as Johnny progresses to 12 and 14, maybe he's making his more nutritional choices on his own. And then as he goes through high school, that it increases the autonomy in regards to nutrition. So like you mentioned, when they're ready to go off to college, it's not like you show up in the cafeteria and you're in like Johnny's like a deer in the headlights. I have never chosen my own food before. I have no idea what I'm going to do, versus, you know, if you start early and begin with those small steps and begin to integrate it more and more as you go on, by the time, if, you know, as just an example, you know, if you start getting your kid involved when they're 10, by the time they go off to college, they've had almost, 8 to 10 years of experience, versus I'm going to stepping into the cafeteria at 18 years old and has never chosen his dinner before.
We're going to wrap things up here in just a little bit, Julia. Before we go, give me just some examples of snacks, things like that, that parents and athletes would be wise to choose, and to have at certain situations, whether it be pregame, whether it be postgame, whether it be between matches, that type of thing. Just some real world examples that they can look to.
Sure. So these examples are really going to be based on snacks that are going to have some protein to help with recovery and also have carbohydrates, usually a little bit more simple carbohydrates, as alluded to before, because they're going to sit easier in the stomach, be rapidly digested, and snacks that are higher in fat might upset the stomach and delay absorption. So these are things that could be like, beforehand, and it's going to depend on the individual, how quickly you can eat before you start to play, but it could be anywhere between, an hour and 3 hours out. So this thing, it could be a bagel, it could be chocolate milk, it could be a protein shake, it could be yogurt, a cheese stick paired with some crackers. Other things I would stay away from maybe would be like fruits, just because they have a lot of fiber and that can also upset the stomach. But just kind of like your delicious, tasty snacks, it could be cereal with milk, chocolate milk paired with any other kind of like, it could be a bowl of like white pasta, with some, just like some red sauce, after a game. It could be a hoagie, it could be a sandwich, in between games. I would certainly recommend maybe like a sports drink to replenish fluid levels and then also provide a source of like carbohydrates, maybe a protein shake, chocolate milk. If someone doesn't like the protein shake, is also like an easy go-to there.
Julia, I appreciate you coming on the show today. If someone is needing more information, more nutritional information, or wants to know a little bit more about Relentless Athletics, how can they contact you guys?
Yes, our Facebook, you can contact us, Relentless Athletics. On Instagram, we are Relentless_athletics with another underscore. And then you can also reach out to us on Twitter, RelentlessATH.
Awesome.
You can also just type in Relentless Athletics and visit us on our website. We have a ton of free educational material, and would be willing to answer any questions.
Awesome. Julia, I certainly appreciate you coming on the show today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.